Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promoting for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to your Friday episode, if you're listening to this on a Friday. Jamie here. Welcome to Private Parts. Today, I'm really excited because it's a wonderful episode. Now, if you use social media or if you don't like social media, you're going to like this episode because today on the podcast, we have Sorrel, a.k.a. Coco Sorrel. Sorrel is a content creator. She's also an actor. She is a podcast host as well. She creates the most fun, engaging, energetic content all over social media. Now, sometimes I think that people have sort of, I've had this in the past, where people think that content creators, it's a sort of easy lifestyle. Oh, they just get to wake up and create videos. And in today's episode, we really dive into that of how it is not like that at all. There's a real dark side to social media as well. Sorrel is very open and honest about her life, about her upbringing, about her struggles, about her ups, her downs, and at the same time, just making the whole episode so funny. Just an amazing episode. I really hope you guys enjoy it. I think you will. Remember, we're also on YouTube if you want to go and watch the clips on YouTube, Private Podcast, and we're also on social media, TikTok and Instagram at Private Podcast. Okay, here we go. Please enjoy the episode with Sorrel. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi.
Hi. Quick question. Uh-huh. Do you like my trainers?
I do. I like the colour.
Good.
Why do you feel are you uneasy about them? Is this a new fashion choice?
Do I seem uneasy about them?
Oh, no, they're great then. That was a weird thing to ask me. I want to start off by saying that was an odd thing to ask me.
All right. How would you want me to start the podcast?
No. They're great trainers. But, you know, you haven't gone crazy on the fashion choices. You've gone for a black outfit and a Nike low dunk. You've not really pushed yourself in terms of
this is pushing it for me.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Then in that case, congratulations.
You knew it was a low dunk as well.
Oh yeah, I love a low dunk.
So do I.
I love a low dunk.
Whoa.
Yeah. Super comfortable. Underrated shoe.
Is it? I didn't know. What do you mean it's underrated?
I don't feel like it gets the hype it deserves, okay. Personally.
Okay.
I don't know where this is going, but we're going to go.
Lean into it.
I don't think it gets the hype it deserves. I think it's it's one of Nike's best.
Yes.
Personally.
I don't like high tops.
No. Ugh.
That's not cool.
High tops are offensive.
I was in this store. So I was in this store buying these shoes, and there was a pair of high top Dior Nike trainers. They cost £10,000.
Wow.
And the person in front of me bought them, and it was raining outside, and he put them on and walked out with them on. That's crazier, I would say.
No, that's insane.
That's insane.
That's insane. But that's the level of rich I aspire to be. I want to go into a store and buy a 10,000 shoe and have no regard for the rain or puddles or nothing.
Yeah.
That to me, that's the price of art.
Yeah, 100%. Well, that's what I thought as well. I thought that as well, but I just think, I couldn't believe it. But now I'm just into these kind of like trainers at the moment.
Your only pair?
I've got this one. I then have some, I can get into it. Okay, I'm going to get into it.
Okay,
I have these ones. I have a The Nike Air Maxes with the red tick now.
Okay.
I've just basically, and I've got some New Balance, like a suede ones. I've just recently got into trainers and I'm obsessed, and everyone I talk to, I'm just like, what do you think?
Wait, what do you think of the trainers?
Yeah.
I love that for you.
Because also I feel like I'm getting to this age now where it's not that cool, maybe.
How old are you, Jamie?
Well, how old do you think I am? If you had to guess.
Oh, don't do that to me.
Okay, guess. Don't. I'm going to do some quick
48.
Math. No.
Have you got any maths?
I have to do a bit of math.
Why?
Because I was watching. Okay, when you were on Made in Chelsea,
yeah.
You were 20.
22, 23.
Okay. I would say you are 32.
Yeah, I would like to be 32, 35.
I wasn't far.
Yeah, but that's old. I feel old now.
No, that's not.
You don't think it is?
You're mature.
I feel like I'm a little bit mature at the moment, which
mature.
Is...
Mature.
And I'm going through this stage in life. I don't know why I'm getting into the podcast like this. Maybe I'm feeling vulnerable today.
Go on.
Like, oh, yeah, just yeah, it's easy, right?
I love that.
Yeah, let's be vulnerable with each other.
Do it.
Okay, fine. Okay.
Safe space.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're a therapist, right?
No, well, I look like one. I could be one, but... I'm not, but I will be for the next hour. Go on.
Great. So this podcast, it's just me going to talk at you.
Yes.
And you're going to listen.
I am. And I'm going to help you and work our way through it, Jamie.
Okay. I feel really upset. I feel really emotional at the moment. I don't really know what's going on. I feel like I've got to a certain age.
Okay.
And suddenly, where has time gone? Where has time gone? I was 22 a second ago. Now I'm older than that.
But is it a case of like when you look back,
yeah.
You're like, this has gone really quickly? Or is it a case of as you're living in 35, you're like, oh my God, I'm going to be 36 soon?
God, you're wise. You're wise.
Which one is it?
I think I look back and it's gone really fast. Do you look back at your life and see how fast it's gone?
Do I look back? Well, you know, since we're being vulnerable. Might as well.
Oh, someone opened you up like a tan. I was going to say a can and a tin, and it came out as tan.
Tan.
I opened you up like a tan.
You did.
Oh, spill out those.
Listen.
Okay.
Let me tell you.
Okay.
I didn't know what it was, but apparently I'm going through what's called the Saturn return. Okay.
You're speaking to a Saturn return guru.
Okay. Now, I had never heard of this term until like the beginning of this year when I was speaking to Candice, a friend of mine, and...
She's your podcast host.
Podcast host as well. And we actually had an episode. Basically, it wasn't planned, but I just broke down on the episode because I was like, I don't know what's happening, but my life is falling to shit. And normally I have a gauge on this shit and I don't know what's happening. So we kind of just like sat down and spoke through it together.
Yeah.
But I think during this quote unquote Saturn return moment of mine, everything has been going very slowly.
Interesting.
Like I feel like I'm feeling every feeling and every moment extremely slowly and I hate it.
Yeah, I mean, a Saturn return is where Saturn is. Everyone supposedly goes through a Saturn return.
Yeah.
That's what happens. And I think mine happened maybe similar time to when yours is happening now. And it's when you reevaluate life and things sort of don't really sync up. Things are going a bit different to what you thought it was going to happen. And it sort of goes a bit all over the place. And you either go through different sort of emotions, anxiety, ups and downs, lefts and rights.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, oh boy, did it hit me. Oh, that little battleship that I wear.
Oh, wow. Me and Tears are best friends right now.
But you're killing it. You're doing so great. So talk me through it. Okay, I'm now... Listen, look at that.
Look at you.
Look at that. It's like a ping pong match. It's back and forth.
Look at us.
Back and forth. Here we go. My turn to sit here.
Go on.
No, you tell me. So what have you been feeling?
I feel like the version of me at like 27, I felt really secure in myself. And then this stupid thing called Saturn and her bumba pussy return comes along and I'm like, bitch, why didn't you tell me that I was going to be like insecure? Everything. Like I'm a quite confident woman.
Yeah.
Everything from like the way I looked, the way I talked, the rooms I'm in, imposter syndrome, my career, everything. I was second guessing myself. I'm like, I don't know what I'm saying, why I'm saying it, who I'm saying it to. Do I want to be this person? Like I sat down one day and I was like reevaluating okay, this is my career at the moment, but maybe I'm in the wrong career. Maybe I need to be doing something else. Maybe I'm not using my quote unquote platform in the way I should. Like, there was just so many like big life questions that hit me.
Do you think that's because you're, you know, TikTok, you have a million, nearly a million?
Nearly
a million. Instagram.
It's fine. Yeah, move on.
TikTok has suddenly changed where it takes harder to get those little followers up.
Yeah. Oh, follow telling it. Me. Yeah.
Check those numbers every day. I do. And you got so many followers all over the place. That is it because you now... Okay, let me break down. When you first started doing social media and you were first on posting your videos and whatever, there was kind of this naivety.
Yeah.
There was this sort of like, okay, I'm just going to post whatever I want, whenever I want. Mm-hmm. And then what happens now, you feel like you have more responsibility because you have these people who are following you. And so therefore you're nervous or conscious of what you're going to say. So you lose that naivety. And actually that can be the death of creativity.
So that is the crossroad I'm at, is like, how do you still stay as authentic as possible, but also ask yourself the hard and necessary questions? Because it's very different to make content when there's the videos getting 10,000 views to making content and the videos are getting 2 million views. Now, don't get me wrong, don't come on here and just start making fun of everyone on the internet, but I'm quite a jesty, jovial person. Mm. And we were talking about Love Island before.
So great.
I love a good Love Island watch. I'm very passionate. You know, I'm very emotional. I get very invested in these people's lives. I shouldn't, but I do. And I watch it and then I do the reviews. And I think when they started, I had that naivety. And as they've gone on, I've kind of been like, no, you actually have a responsibility, A, to not water yourself down, but B, to also not put this person in a position where when they leave the villa, they're coming back to you also being a part of this loud vacuum of noise. How do you toe that line?
But can't you separate yourself from that and just say you're there as a source of entertainment and you're a sort of position where you're acting as a sort of member of the public who is expressing thoughts, but in a fun, digestible way. I don't think any of your stuff is...
No.
I think your stuff is fantastic.
Thank you.
I came across you because me and my friend were having a dinner once, this is ages ago, and she said, you gotta watch this person's content. I said, okay. So we just sat there and we were just laughing so much at all the stuff that you were doing. So relatable, so funny. And all the Love Island stuff as well was just popping up. It was so great. You put joy into people's lives.
Thank you.
And we were chatting with the team before. We were just saying how much joy you bring everyone. So that's a great thing.
That is. And it's... I think when I got into the Saturn Return anyway, I was asking myself those big questions because I'd kind of never asked them before. Mm-hmm. And I agree. I mean, I always say my content is never to like... I'm not trying to be divisive. I'm... just speaking from my personal experience of how I've watched this thing or have experienced this thing, and I always put a funny twist on it, whether it's politics or whatever. I'm a joker, you know. Can't take shit seriously, even if I wanted to. You know what I mean? So I'm always going to skew towards the side of comedy. But I think, I don't know, I got to a point where I was like, I also don't want to look back and be like, oh, that was a step too far. So it's kind of being my own check and balance, you know?
Does that ruin the creativity though? Because you're then censoring yourself.
Sometimes. I'll be honest, sometimes. And sometimes there'll be like a video sitting in my drafts and I'm like, yeah, I can't post that. Like, I used to talk about pop culture moments quite a lot.
Yeah.
Now I'm just like, ugh.
Why? Because you're worried about the negative feedback or worried about saying the wrong thing?
No,
or?
Because I'm worried about... I don't like to open my mouth unless I feel like I'm adding something to the conversation. So there's a difference between... There's four people here, and then three of you have the same opinion and you're saying it to one person, and then I add in the exact same opinion. That doesn't help that person, because the whole point of giving your opinion is to edify this conversation.
Yeah.
But if we've got two opinions here and then mine is different and yours is different, at least that person comes away with three different opinions. Does that make sense?
Makes total sense.
So now I'm like, okay, there's this social thing that's happened or this pop culture moment that's happened and everyone is saying the same thing.
Got it.
me making a video that will get the clicks and the views and people will laugh, cool. But the big picture is whoever watches, or whether it's the person going through it or anyone else, there should be something different and new to the conversation.
Yeah, you're nailing every sort of what any marketeer would say is the right thing to do. Is that you're not, basically what you don't want to do is you don't want to be a copycat person that just jumps on the same sort of content that everyone else is talking about just to get the clicks and the views.
Exactly.
You want to be unique in your own way.
Exactly.
And you don't, and I said it on this podcast many times before, but you don't want to follow the logic of everyone else.
Exactly.
You want to be against the grain.
Exactly.
Which is a great thing, but that's also, you must get in the situation where you see content out there or pop culture, or whatever it is that you want to comment on, but you have the same comment of everyone else, so you're just like, well, I can't comment on that because it's the same kind of thing. Is that what happens?
It's more so, not necessarily I can't, it's more so like, well, they did a great job. That was a good video. Like, keep it pushing. Someone's going to see that. I can repost. Like, they've said it. They've said exactly what I would say. It's just, it's coming from a different mouthpiece. So unless I can say it in a different way or I can add to it, but other than that, there's no point in me commenting on that. And also, pop culture is so fleeting. Like, one person's shagging someone, the next moment, cocaine. I mean, I can't keep up. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just, you're blinking, something new's happened. So there's no point in, because tomorrow we're talking about something else and I can always talk about that.
So true. Do you know what I mean? It's so true.
There's always something to talk about.
Like, something hits the press and everyone's like, no way. Yeah. And then, boom, it's gone.
Gone.
That's not, okay, what are your thoughts on fame now? Do you think people can still be famous, or do you think that it's because we have social media is everyone has it? Well, not everyone, but a huge majority have. You know, I think everyone feels so much more accessible. Is there such thing as like fame anymore, or is it more?
When you say fame, do you mean like old?
I feel like old
Hollywood.
School. If you think of old Hollywood,
celebrity
people used to see in magazines, people who were untouchable, people who were unattainable, and you would only see them on a red carpet looking beautiful. Do you still think we have that?
I will be honest with you, we are going through a plague right now where celebrities,
that was heavy.
No, we are, and we need to talk about it.
All right, here we go.
Unfortunately, celebrities want to be content creators. Get back in your fucking lane. Okay, I don't care. There is no reason why I should know every single last thing about a certain celebrity and their marriage and their this. We don't need to know that. We had old Hollywood back in the day. Beyonce, for example. I don't know shit about that woman. She comes, she creates art. There is a allure. There is like a, wow, you're Beyonce. There's razzmatazz around you.
Yes.
If Beyonce starts getting her camera and being like, get ready with me to go to the Met Gala. ma'am, respect the brand, because this is too much. It's too much, okay? So I think celebrities are trying to be so weird.
Get ready to be like you're in the Met Gala.
So weird. And I feel like celebrities are trying to be more relatable.
Completely.
And we're not asking for that.
Oh, that's such a, this is such a...
Do you think we're asking for that?
And oh my God, it's, do you know what? It's so interesting because I completely agree with you. I think there is that old Hollywood style, let's take Beyonce, right? What makes it magical is you don't know anything. You don't know anything. But then there's what I think is troubling, right? Is what you said is that there's this sort of pop culture element, which is where things are so fleeting and quick the whole time. So therefore, if you're not being relevant all the time, then are you relevant at all? And so then it's a fear that you might drift into the shadows and just disappear.
Well, let's get a talent then, you know. Let's get a talent, shall we? Let's put it out an album. Let's get to work.
You and I doing an album together would be genius.
I could see us doing a Christmas album.
What would we sing?
All the hits.
We would sing just all of them. All of them.
We would take over
Michael
Bublé.
It's the most beautiful time of the year. I would do it. Sitting in this chair. We'd do it sitting in the chair. I wouldn't move. And I would look down the camera like this.
Go on.
And
I would look down my camera again.
It's the most beautiful time of the year.
Summit, that cheer. I'll be under the mistletoe.
You will be hammered on.
We need to have a rehearsal. We need to get a rehearsal in because this is... This is shambolic.
I agree with you though. It's true. Maybe people, we need to stay more in our lanes and do what we do. And actually, everyone wants to be so present with everyone in their lives all the time that it actually ruins that sort of mystery sometimes.
Yeah, like, I think Adele does it great.
Correct.
Adele does it fantastic. Great and shot. She's still relatable. When she is doing the promo for her tours or her album, one of my favourite moments is when she was trying to figure out how to work a live online.
Yes!
So relatable. That is what we want. I'm not asking them to never speak and like go into a mountain and hide away. No. But when you are speaking, you don't have to try and be an Alex Earle or a Monet. Like, you can just be a celebrity and then go away and we will just have that, wow, Adele. Like, it's like a gem. It's a gift you give us rather than like, otherwise you just become too accessible.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
That's interesting with someone like Alex Earle, right? Alex Earle is a sort of big influencer in the States. She's big on TikTok. If coming from a place where people sort of gravitate towards you and they want to watch your content, why do you think... First, I want to talk about someone like Alex Earle. Why do you think people gravitate towards people like that? And someone like Alex Earle becomes big. Why does that work on social media?
Oh, a plethora of reasons.
Okay, try and give it to us. Why does that work? Because it's funny. Lots of people, from my point of view, when I'm creating a video, I know a prank video or whatever, I'm doing a video for a podcast, whatever. In my head, I know why it's going to work. But I find it really hard to dictate that to someone. I go, well, using that clip there is not going to work because it's not going to grab the attention enough at the beginning. They go, well, why? And I go, well, I just don't know. I just can feel it. But I want to hear your reasons behind why people become attractive on social media.
I would say on the like big scheme, on the things that you can't control, is like the timing, what's going on socio and economically, what's going on politically. I think people, for example, if, let's say when COVID hit, there was an urge to have human contact. So people were going onto TikTok and social media to find people outside of their family, outside of their friends, who they also feel like they can have a parasocial relationship with.
Yes.
And because of that, you then have all these relatable content creators who kind of had like a massive shoot up because, for example, someone like Max Belegde, I don't know if you know him, hilarious, but I saw him on TikTok and I was like, I literally have a best mate like him. I'm going to follow him. Because of that, his content became like, he's like a friend in my head type vibe. And Alex Earle, when she came about, I think people were now looking for like a done up version of a content creator.
A Barbie version, a
pretty girl who
was also relatable. They have that side where they can get drunk, they eat this, they eat that, they're whatever. They're relatable but have this sort of premium edge, I suppose.
Yeah, and like her makeup isn't like so intimidating that like your everyday girl can't go to like the your Boots and buy the products and try and recreate. Yeah. She's not like doing, and do you know what I mean? It's all quite relatable. The hair is relatable. She's fun. She's going out. She's living her best life. I think when she came in, it was at that time when people were kind of looking for it. So it's kind of hard to dictate who blows up when and why. But I think the difference is the longevity. So like being able to adapt yourself once you've blown up and being able to allow your audience to grow and change with you. Because the version of me who came onto TikTok versus me now, I would say quite different. Okay. In the sense that I wasn't going to events. I wasn't doing what I'm doing now. I wasn't doing very deep conversations on podcasts and whatever. It was all just shits and gigs and a lot of chaotic content, because I'm also kind of trying not to have a mentee being in the middle of a global pandemic. But anyway, and people were like working through that with me.
Yeah.
But now I think your audience kind of allows you to evolve and grow. But what makes you a good content creator is that you accept that evolution. You're not stuck doing the same thing. Does that make sense?
It makes complete sense. The way you describe it makes complete sense. But it's hard, right? Because it's hard to evolve.
It is.
And you're so right, especially when, because I know so many people listening to this right now will be starting out on social media, because we know the amount of people that want to be sort of in social media, working at, you know, influencer, whatever it is, content creators. And, you know, I massively admire that. I, you know, I think, and I want to get into the stress of being a content creator. Oh, But I totally agree with you. I think what happens is sometimes is that people who are creating content can get stuck in their old way. So they created a funny video about playing a guitar to their dog.
Yeah.
And then the rest of their videos are always playing. It never evolves. It never adapts. And you have to evolve and adapt.
You have to, for yourself.
And that's why I think viral videos, when you get a viral video, first one, boom, it's actually a dangerous thing.
Super, super scary. Because then people only know you for that one thing that you did that one time. And then you're like, oh, well, I guess I'm going to have to juggle eggs every Tuesday now so that I'm relevant. Like, that's such a crazy place to be in. Like, it's so scary. Like, I think that viral video thing that people used to, like, crave is actually, like, you want a steady growth. You want people to grow with you, not just kind of, like, this mass of people just come out of nowhere and then they're like, well, you're an egg juggler. I followed you because of eggs. Unfollowing now, like... Do you know what I mean? It's just, it's weird.
Okay, what is your background? Because you have a really good idea of brand, and you do.
Well.
You do. You have a really good idea of marketing and image and what makes sense and what doesn't make sense. And you obviously have a very good understanding of pop culture and political views, and you're opinionated in a good way. Yeah. So where does this all come from? Where did everything begin?
How far back do you want to go, Jamie?
I want to go back to the womb.
Okay. Okay,
let's go.
March 6, 1994. I would say, I don't know, I think I've always wanted to be a creative, and I kind of grew up in a very political household and a debatey household. I think that's where my opinion started to get sharpened. My parents are very smart. My dad, very politically aware, to the point where, like, dinner tables were just... debates back and forth.
That's healthy though.
Very healthy. And also contrasting debates, because my dad also never believes that you should be in a table with everybody who has the same opinion as you. That's a terrible place to be in. Terrible place to be
in. Why? Because then you become a sort of...
You have only one source of information from one group of people. It's an echo chamber. Like, it's just...
Okay.
As much as I may not agree, I absolutely need to know everything that a liberal... believes in, everything that a conservative believes in.
Yeah.
That's the only way that I can sharpen my own knowledge.
And you learn. Yeah.
So my parents would always make us have varying, you know, debates. But from there, I went into like drama and theatre, and I did that at school, and I wanted to be an actress, and I studied at university to do presenting and acting.
Did you?
I did.
Where were you uni?
University of Bedfordshire.
Okay.
And I did that for 3 years. And then from there, I went and did like a postgrad training at, it's like a drama school called the Court Theatre Training Company.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was like, I'm going to be an actor. This is what I'm going to do.
And you had your blueprint. There it was. Boom.
Blueprint. And I was like, that's what I'm going to do. Done.
And how good were you at school and acting? Were you in all the plays?
Was I in all the plays? Was I in all the plays? Was I in all the plays?
I think you can remember.
Was I? Interesting.
I think you can remember.
Oh, Jamie, it slips me. It really does. No, I wasn't. I wasn't really in all the plays. I kind of wasn't that confident at school. I was confident amongst people I trusted.
Here we go.
I was confident amongst them. Tan is opening. Tan is open.
Because you say on your Instagram bio, you say you're an extroverted introvert. Is that right?
No. That was incorrect. I say I'm an antisocial extrovert.
Antisocial extrovert, yeah. So what I gather from that, what I would gauge from that is that you are, because when I meet you, you're so outgoing, you're so engaging.
Yeah.
But also...
Layers. Many, many layers.
So why weren't you confident at school?
I don't... Jamie, bloody Nora, what is this? Therapy? Tan. I mean, it's a...
School's tricky.
School is tricky, but I think also I grew up in a predominantly white area, mm-hmm. as one of the only black girls at my school. I went to an all-girls school. So you're already like trying to figure out like your own, I don't know, confidence and whatever. Mm. But then you're thrust in a world where like no one looks like you, no one has the same experiences as you. So then you're just like, I don't really know where I fit in or where I belong. So there was a lot of like shape-shifting. I was friends with all different friendship groups because I was just like, who do I belong with? Just like, I'm a nerd for one day. I'm this for... Like, I was kind of everywhere.
But isn't that a little bit typical for younger kids anyway, that we kind of float around to different groups? Like, we become friends with this group, become friends with that group. Doesn't that happen quite a lot or no?
I would say school felt clicky to me.
Yeah, that is totally fair.
Yeah, it felt clicky. Like, I do think you experiment with different groups as you grow up, because obviously, you know, you're like, oh, I wasn't into that in year 7, but in year 11, I love this, you know. You kind of float, but it felt clicky amongst the floating. Mm. And I think what I did was I was just like, I don't want to be part of a clique. So I never had like a friendship group. I had one best friend, and then I was friends with everybody else, we were pals. If I saw you in the canteen, hey. And sometimes, like, the netball girls would be like, Sorrel. And then the library girls would be like, Sorrel. And I'm like, oh, I'm so popular. I don't know where to go. And it wasn't that. It was just the case that, like, I found common ground with different people at school.
Yeah.
Because I was trying to figure out where I fit in. Didn't fit in anywhere. It's fine. And then...
That's tricky as well, isn't it? It is. It's hard. I always think my sister went to a girls' school and she said it was really hard.
It's tough.
It's really tough.
It's tough.
Because I think, generalising massively here, but only for my little sisters, and I call her little sister, she's 31. She's not that little anymore. I think she's 32. But she found it very tricky because it was very cliquey, as you said, and it felt quite mentally draining a lot of the time because it was almost manipulative.
Yeah, and like almost like you, the status quo is you can't not be a part of a clique. So yeah. I was actively going against the status quo. So then also people are also then like, oh, who are you friends with? And I'm like, everyone, I guess. Like it was so weird, but I think I navigated it like that because I don't believe A, in conforming, but B, I didn't know where I wanted to go, and I didn't want to solidify myself with X group when actually maybe I'm a bit of X and Y, or do you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
So yeah, that was school. Like, but I would say I had a good school experience overall. Mm-hmm. Like I wasn't like bullied badly or anything. Like I've heard other horror stories. Like I had a fairly good experience overall, but it was just more like an internal struggle that I was like, oh my God, I feel uncomfortable everywhere.
And is that because you said that it was predominantly white? And that's quite tricky as well, because then you're sort of going, hang on a second, you sort of suggested, you said, well, I feel like I don't fit in here. Well, what do you think? Explain it to me. Educate me.
Jamie. I think, okay, I think that's my experience.
Yeah.
So I have kind of nothing else to go off of.
Totally.
I do think that basically my school experience and my uni experience were different.
Yeah.
I still sometimes felt like I didn't fit in.
Mm.
But the difference is when I went to uni, my uni was, I had much larger, you know, black,
African-Caribbean
people.
And also it's just different. It's when I went to university, I remember getting to university and I had been, my school was 600 people or something, that's what it was.
Yeah.
And that's the only people I knew.
That's
and then I got to university and it was 80,000 people.
Yes.
And so suddenly you're introduced to everyone from everywhere.
Yeah.
And you suddenly realize, my God, there's a world out here.
Yes.
And you go from this sort of really closed space, which it feels like a biscuit tin. It's like, you're just like, what the hell is this? And then you open, but I think that's, it happens with the majority of people. And this is my problem also with social media.
Mm.
Going flipping out to social media sometimes. I don't know why I've got so serious on today's podcast, but I have. Let's blow with it. But with social media, when we leave school, we can become whoever we want to be.
Yes.
And it doesn't matter. We're out there. Hello, we can do this. And the problem with social media is that it's also a bit like one big school still, because we're in this place where everyone is looking at us. Everyone is watching us. We have to be the most popular or this or that.
Yeah.
It feels also like a bit of a big school that we're jumping back into.
Yeah. And I feel with social media as well, like I love content from like doctors or like jewelry makers.
Okay.
Like random.
Glassblowers. I've seen a lot of that. Like, that is fantastic.
I like someone who has a craft.
Yeah.
Outside of social media, because don't get me wrong, it's all well and good being a personality. Everybody's a personality. Everyone go on and do a get ready with me. But I think for the people consuming the content, there are like 14, 15, 16, 17, 18 year old girls who are like, I guess all I can do is be a content creator then, I guess.
Mm.
When that's not the case necessarily, there are people out there who do medicine or do jewelry making, but they also make content. Does that make
sense?
You know,
yeah, I know.
I feel like there isn't like a, you need to diversify your feed.
Yes.
So it's not just content from
a get ready with me.
A get ready with me influencer.
It needs to be a little bit more than that.
Reflect the world, because unfortunately the phones aren't going anywhere. The social media is not going anywhere. But when you walk down a street, you pass a nurse, you pass a dentist. Do you know what I mean? And you can have those conversations. But if your feed doesn't look like that, it does then look like, okay, I only have one path and that's, let me get a ring light. Do you know what I mean? And that's not the case.
Have you ever thought it's gone past like a glassblower, a jewelry maker, or like a horse riding, gone, I'm going to learn horse riding.
Jamie, I hyperfixate over anything I watch. I went through a tap dancing phase on my TikTok. I bought tap shoes. I bought a tap slab.
You did.
I bought a tap slab.
No,
I hyperfixated for a good 7 months because I watched one video of one guy in New York tap dancing in his room. And I was like, well, Juilliard, here I come. I said, sign me up, baby. This is my life goal now.
God, I have so many similarities with that. It's like, my friend persuaded me to do stand-up comedy once, right?
Okay.
And I went and did it, and I was like, and everyone knew it was like a charity gig.
Yeah.
I've spoken this before, and everyone knew it was going to be, you know, I was there to have fun. And I came and I was like, move over, McIntyre. Oh, this is my fucking calling. I have arrived.
Yep.
And then I went and did another one, and I literally went, like, walked in, like, holding like an imaginary shotgun. And they were like, this guy is shit. And I was like, oh my god. I sum up all of this, this confidence that I just got for no reason. Just suddenly
humbled. Humbled, yeah.
So you fixate on things?
I hyperfixate. I can have the same meal. It's unhinged. I can have the same meal for 7 weeks, every single day, 3 times a day. And then
what is it?
My most recent one, I haven't hyperfixated recently, but my most recent one was like 6 months ago, and it was this pasta. Zucchini, cherry tomato, and they had to be a very specific cherry tomato. Only bought them from M&S. No, you know, other stores are available. And it could be spaghetti, any type of pasta with olive oil, and that was it. And salt. Is it Maldon salt? Is that what it's called?
The fancy flaky one. Yeah, the one that you can crush up with your fingers. Yeah.
And black pepper.
Okay.
And I ate that for about 3 months.
You're lying. That is
That's it. People would invite me to like the best restaurants and I'd be like, no, going home to have my pasta, thank you.
But hang on, where does that come from? What? Because that feels like a sort of OCD slight thing.
I might be on the spectrum. I may or may not have ADHD. I don't know. I don't know. I just...
I love that question. Where do you think that comes from? Wow.
Well, now you've mentioned it, my therapist did say I need to take a test.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Three months, baby.
And then do you suddenly come out of it? Oh, where have I been?
I come out of it like, that was the most disgusting thing. I never want to see pasta or zucchini ever again. Like, now if anybody's like, do you want a zucchini pasta? I'm like, ugh. Like, I heave at the thought of it. Until my next hyperfixation.
Okay, guys, that is the end of part one. Now, as always, all you got to do is go and click over to part two and you can listen to the rest of the episode with Sorrel.